You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for Cynthia Canty. Last week, Congressman Paul Mitchell, a Republican representing Michigan's Thumb region, took to the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives.
It is an honor to stand on this floor, debate issues, and represent the people of Michigan's 10th District.
This was a speech Mitchell has never given as congressman and will never give again. Mitchell is retiring after just 2.5 years in office.
However, it appears to me that rhetoric overwhelms policy and politics consumes much of the oxygen in this city. The time has come to make a difference for my family.
Mitchell plans to complete the remainder of his second term serving Michigan's 10th District. His retirement comes as somewhat of a surprise, but the announcement was also after a week of criticizing the leader of the Republican Party, President Donald Trump, for his inflammatory rhetoric. Congressman Mitchell joins us now. Congressman, why was this the right time to retire?
Well, I think you have to look at the election schedule in Michigan, given that we need to give citizens in the district time to sort out who they want to represent them next, and people trying to get a campaign organized. And more often than not, these decisions are made around this time. The latest I could make a decision was September, so it was time to decide whether or not I can continue to make a difference here. And because otherwise, you're signing on, assuming you run and win, you're signing on for another 2 years. And I didn't see the likelihood of that being a good outcome.
For you, if you ran again, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I didn't see it as being productive, to be honest with you.
What type of person do you think would best represent your district or would be most electable now, I suppose? Maybe those are two different answers.
There may be two different things. I think someone that represents the district needs to represent well the conservative but pragmatic perspective that most people in the district have. They're conservative people. There's a lot of, I call working class people like my mom and dad that went to work every day, and my dad built trucks in the line. Mom worked at the Salvation Army, and they expect people to try to work, support themselves, but they also expect that they're pragmatic and that it isn't all about ideology. It's about making things better in America. They want people that will sort of work on getting things to a better place.
So do you think that your chances would have been more difficult for re-election, or that you would have been primaried because you have come out recently being critical of the president?
I didn't make a decision for any reason that I felt any political adversity or risk. That's not, I think if you take on a job like this, a role like this, and your primary concern is whether or not you're going to be primaried or whatever, then you're in the wrong job. That's the problem here. It's people worry first about elections, about winning elections, and first, foremost, and sometimes only. And that is one of the issues that we're dealing with here. It's nice if we actually solve a few problems.
Well, we've seen a lot of hesitancy to speak out against the president. You are one of few people who have been willing to say, that you have a sort of moral or philosophical line in the sand on any particular issue. There are many people who seem afraid to draw those types of lines. Do people speak with you privately about those issues and are unwilling to speak publicly? And when do you imagine that those philosophical lines will be drawn for them?
Those philosophical lines exist on both sides of the aisle. I believe you run for office, you have your principles, you have the things you believe are right and wrong, your policies you believe will make a difference in America, and then you have what you believe are the majority of the viewpoint of your district. Those are things you work on. And you can't worry moment by moment whether or not it's to your political advantage. You can't do a poll about everything. You stand up and do those things, do the best you can, and then an election comes to be counted. So when it comes to some things, some things go beyond what I think is a reasonable thing to do. I will speak out. I have, and will continue to, as long as I'm a member here, and probably after that, frankly, but it may matter less.
Well, last question for you. Will you support President Trump in re-election in 2020?
I haven't been asked about that. I think that the President Trump is the policies of the Trump administration have moved this country forward. Economically, we're in a better place in terms of our ability to manage what's going on in the world. Yeah, there are more challenges on the surface than appeared when the previous administration, mostly because, frankly, we appeased them, like sending a plane full of cash to Iran. But the reality is we're in a better place as a country. We're a better place on trade. We need to pass USMCA. All those things are because of the president that we have in office. There are times that things go to a place that I said, wait a minute, that's not what we're here for, and I'll state those things. That's the way it works.
So it seemed to me that there would be some sort of internal struggle, though, for you, because, you know, you said that his strategy will be damaging to the election as far as the cultural politics that he's playing.
Well, what I said was a continuation of that theme by allowing that to continue with some people within, like, a rally or something, I believe would be damaging. That's not my call to make. That's my belief, and it very much stems from my principles. I would have said in the midst of that came up with, wait a minute, that's not where we're Americans. That's not what we're about. They're entitled to their opinion. I call the Twitter freshmen are entitled to their opinion, and they can pursue that. But the reality is they're wrong. It's bad for America. What they advocate will do damage to a very fabric of our nation. And here's why. But you go to the policies and the things they stand for and not anything else, because the problem is we when we personalize political stuff, it ends up getting really ugly. And I think we need to step above the ugliness.
Congressman Paul Mitchell, thank you so much for your time.
Have a good day.
That was Congressman Paul Mitchell of Michigan's 10th Congressional District. Mitchell plans to retire at the end of 2020. Here to help us contextualize Mitchell's retirement is Zach Gorchow. He's editor of Gongwer News Service. Zach, welcome to the program.
Hey, Laura.
So what should we make of Mitchell retiring after just 2.5 years?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of things going on here. I think you have somebody who used to run their own company, is used to relatively, you know, efficient ways of operating, and then they get to Congress and they're one of 435 members in the U.S. House, and things are a lot different. And then you throw on that the party he belongs to loses majority in the last election.
Right.
And so now you're in the minority party. I just don't think this is quite what he signed up for when he decided he wanted to run.
I was getting deja vu of just recently Dave Trott doing the same thing, and now Haley Stevens is holding that seat. Is this a trend that we're going to see where people don't want to serve? Is this just an era of toxicity where people don't want to serve for very long?
I mean, it's got to be in your blood to want to do this. I mean, you look at the people who appear to be sticking with it, who are relatively recently elected, like Bill Huizenga or John Molinar. On the Republican side. I mean, these are folks who had been in the legislature and elected to a number of terms in the legislature before they arrived in Congress. They know the drill here. You know, but I do think if you're an outsider and you get to Congress and, like a Dave Trott, like a Paul Mitchell, you're used to sort of your way is the way that it goes when you're running your business. And now you're in Congress and you're one of 435 voices. Just don't think it's the kind of thing that some people are cut out for.
Well, the New York Times recently referred to Port Huron, which is within this district, as a maybe potentially a bellwether or a national laboratory for Trump's style of politics and reelectability. Tell us what we should know about the district and whether or not you're watching it as a bellwether.
Well, this is one of the most pro-Trump areas in the state. You could, and in terms of just raw numbers, you could say it is the most pro-Trump area of the state. We're talking about northern Macomb County, reaching northward all the way up through the Thumbs, so places like Port Huron, Bad Axe, and Lapeer. And this is an area that not that long ago was an area Democrats could compete in, at least parts of it.
Because we're talking about working class white voters, right?
Yes, we're talking about an area that is very white, very rural in most places, and some working class white areas. Absolutely. This is a very white area. And it's an area that really hits Trump's base because, you know, the Thumb in particular is an area that, you know, economically is not thriving. So this is an area that has really responded strongly to Donald Trump. And it's not just Trump. I mean, we've seen it across a number of elections that much, much stronger Republican votes than, you know, 4, 6, 10 years ago that this area used to have. Is it a national laboratory? I don't know about that. I mean, I expect that no matter really what happens in 2020, that Donald Trump is going to run really well here. I just don't think there's going to be much to show that this Trump is going to have some sort of a big fall off. If he does, he's going to lose and lose huge because he needs big margins in places like this. So there's nothing to indicate that the new Democratic energy in Michigan that showed itself in 2018 is carrying over in the thumb. This is now a bread and butter Republican area.
So you don't expect to see a Haley Stevens or an Alyssa Slotkin flip of that seat anytime soon?
Absolutely not. I mean, the successor to Paul Mitchell is going to be determined in the Republican primary. Paul Mitchell won, you know, by the biggest margin of any Republican candidate for Congress in Michigan in 2018. That's not a coincidence. And it's not so much that everybody loved Paul Mitchell. And I guess you'd have to say, well, you must be pretty popular there because you don't win by the kind of margin he won by if you aren't pretty well liked. But it owed much more to the national dynamic that's taking hold, where white working class areas with relatively low percentages of people with bachelor's degrees, and that's what this area is demographically, are going very strongly Republican now.
Zach Gorchow, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, great to be with you.
Zach Gorchow is editor of Gongwer News Service at the State Capitol.